Come on, Robin. To the Batcave. We haven't one moment to lose.
All right, welcome back, Bat fans, to Beyond the Batcave. I am Taylor Jackson, one of your co-hosts.
And I'm the other, Andy Piper.
How you doing, Andy?
Oh, it's been a good week, Taylor. Just stumbling through, yeah. Surviving. It's hot. Awesome. I'll tell you that. I've been melting outside.
Seriously. Well, I'm glad you're inside to record this episode. Hopefully your AC's working all right.
Oh, I'm in a basement. Who needs AC? It's cold down here. My fingers are actually numb.
Awesome. Yeah. Anything exciting in the world of Batman for you?
For me? I'm trying to think what I mentioned or not mentioned already. I've been reading some comics I've been meaning to get to for a long time. Reading War Games, which is pretty dang good. I'm enjoying that quite a lot. Catching up on some other Rebirth stuff. So I think I told you before, I work at this job with all these kids who are in recovery, they're in treatment, and I've converted a lot of them to comics fans, which is kind of embarrassing, honestly, but it's pretty fun. But the thing is, like, the treatment center they're going to, they have to spend a lot of money to get there, so a bunch of the kids that are coming to the center are just rich as crap, dude. They're so rich, and their parents are just buying them an insane amount of comics, so it's actually turned out pretty good for me, because lots of them are now... They have read everything I've recommended, and they're starting to branch out into their own things. And so now lots of them have books that I have been wanting to read forever. And so I've been able to catch up on a lot of Rebirth, because they're just getting all the Rebirth stuff. I just read Green Arrow. Not all of it, but first volume. Been reading a lot of Batman stuff. I've been working on the Master Race, the Dark Knight 3. So I feel like I'm taking advantage of these kids, but like they kind of owe it to me. I introduced them to comics, so... I'm a horrible person. I don't know.
That's awesome. That's a great story. And it's still unfolding. That's cool, man. That's super cool. Have you caught up on the main Batman title yet?
No, I haven't even, actually. I've been reading other stuff more than I have. I should have caught up, though. I've had it spoiled the heck for me now. Like, you can't avoid it. Just with how smart Google is getting.
We should probably do an episode on
it. I actually... Yeah. Let's do it. I'll read that stuff soon. Because... Google's getting so smart. I'm starting to get notifications on my phone that are like, hey, here's what happened to Batman this week. And I'm like, I don't want to know that, Google. Knock it off.
Seriously. But they do have a button that says avoid spoilers for X, Y, or Z.
Do they really? Where is that?
Yeah.
I'm interested.
Yeah. I just did it, this weekend for, the World Cup.
It's just letting that Google now. Yeah, I did see that for the World Cup. But I was never going to get spoiled for the World Cup. I watched the whole thing live.
Yeah. So, anyways, we should probably jump right into our
news
here. Yeah,
let's do this.
So there's quite a lot. I mean, granted, it's been a while since
let's just group it up by movie. Let's talk movies.
Okay.
Let me say, first of all, I cannot believe that Aquaman is this close to release, and I just haven't been thinking about it at all. I mean...
Yeah.
You and I were just talking about this off the air. I've just been incredibly busy with work... and other things like that, but it is, are we within 4 months officially now? What's the date on this? What's the date on this?
In December.
Oh, so it'll be 5 months, I think.
Yeah.
Still, I can't believe we got that close. I actually have got to say, I like not having a trailer yet. It's kind of cool, because I know once the trailer hits, I'm going to be kind of fever pitch instantly for, the next 5 months. But I liked that we held off until now, because it kept me more focused on other stuff.
Yeah, no, definitely. And now that it's close enough, it's okay to be excited about it, and it doesn't have to, die down between, between this and something else. Yeah, no, so I'm super excited, and just getting ready for this show got me super pumped. And one thing I've been doing kind of in the world of comics and stuff is I realized that Hulu has a bunch of the DC animated shows on it. And so I've been catching up on all those that I never watched. So even today I watched Throne of Atlantis, and man, I'm just so
pumped. That's a good one, huh? Right now. That's a good one.
Oh, so good. So good. I need to read the comic.
I didn't know those were on Hulu, because I have Hulu. I need to check that out, see what's on there.
Yeah, they've got like 6 or 7 of them, and some of them pretty recent, too. I was, so far, I've watched New Frontier, Crisis on Two Earths, and I'm trying to remember if there's other ones. Justice League Doom, Throne of Atlantis, and then I think there's 3 more that I haven't watched yet, which I'm trying to watch them in order, at least as they are there. The Justice League versus Teen Titans, and The Judas Contract.
Oh my gosh, those are all on Hulu? You're kidding me.
Yeah, they're all on Hulu.
Let's knock it out, dude. This is great. All I've been doing is watching Smallville on Hulu. I never knew.
They also got Teen Titans Go, if you need your fix there.
Yeah, you know, I need my fix. Actually, the other day, when I saw The Incredibles 2, I saw, I don't know, just seeing the Teen Titans Go posters in an actual theater made me kind of excited. That was pretty cool. Like, yeah, I can't say that I'm like that excited for the movie, but I'm excited that we're getting, you know, some good exposure on that level. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah, seriously. So there's tons of stuff, and we could spend, you know, 1 to 2 hours just talking about all the Aquaman stuff that's out there, because there's just kind of like a blitz now. James Wan has been so quiet for so long that now that stuff is getting to his level of acceptedness for the public eye, he's starting to thrill us with it. So I'm just gonna like throw out everything that we've seen, and then we can talk about some of our favorite things. How's that sound?
Yeah, that sounds great. Let's do that.
Cool. So Aquaman was on the cover of Entertainment Weekly magazine. There's some cool covers there. They also had a lot of first looks. We got our first look at Black Manta, and they have 5 images from the film. One has Jason Momoa storming a submarine that's been attacked by pirates. You see Arthur and Mera embarking on a quest on the surface world. And then you see Aquaman facing his ambitious half-brother King Orm, who wants to declare war on the surface world. And we got a picture also of James Wan, Amber Heard, and Jason Momoa in a galleon as they encounter Aquaman's mentor, Volko. And then we got a picture of Queen Atlanta, played by Nicole Kidman, protecting a young Arthur Curry. Patrick Wilson talked a little bit about his character, Orm. That he's kind of an eco-warrior, is what Patrick Wilson said. He's got a clear gripe with the surface world, which has been polluting his oceans for centuries. Entertainment Weekly added on to that in Aquaman, Orm seeks to unite the 7 underwater kingdoms to declare war on the surface world, and an idea that doesn't sit well with Curry. And then James Wan talked a little bit about how Orm's just going to be a little bit different of a villain. We got this first look at kind of this, what would you call this, these thrones, ruins of the 7 kingdoms sort of statues.
Yeah, I don't know. It looks so cool. It reminds me of that scene from The Two Towers where they're on the river and they go past the 2 statues are flanking the river.
Oh, it just looks like that. Fellowship. Yeah, that one.
Oh, is it in Fellowship? Awesome. I'm sorry.
It's all right. I just had to make sure one of us knew what we were talking about.
Yeah, I don't want to bring down the wrath of the Tolkien fans.
We make enough Lord of the Rings references as it is. But then we got some there's some toys that were released from DC Collectibles. They got removed at the request of Warner Brothers, but they're still on Twitter and stuff. So we get like a kind of a classic look for Black Manta, Aquaman, and Mera. And then we got our first look at the Fisherman King. And then EW again got that first look, and they described that scene where Orm has gone to the Fisherman King to enlist their help to declare war on the ocean polluting surface world, which kind of fits with what we've been told earlier. And it's just kind of a cool look at, or kind of our first look at a different species in Aquaman. And then these weren't in my notes, but they're just out today. James Wan shared a sneak peek at this week's trailer, because we have heard that it is going to play in Comic-Con. We know that for a fact, or at least as close to fact as these things come. And he shared on Twitter, I don't know how to describe this, Andy, the most epic pose Aquaman is often in, just commanding the seas, and you've got whales and sharks popping out of the ocean in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And Then we got our first poster for Aquaman.
Yeah, speaking of sharks.
Surrounded by sharks. Yeah, right.
And orcas. Don't forget them. And a sea turtle.
Oh, yeah. I missed the sea turtle. So, and it just says, Home is Calling. And then it has December 21st.
Yeah, the poster is probably my favorite thing out of all of this, actually. The poster is amazing. It looks so good. And it just sets the tone for what I think this movie is going to be. It's cool that all this from the Entertainment Weekly dropped all at once in that issue. It just makes me feel like this is going to be kind of an adventure movie, if that makes sense. More like Arthur traveling around, doing different stuff. He's got a map. He's got a quest. I don't know. This is exciting. It's cool to see Black Manta and Ocean Master, like, not Ocean Master yet, probably, but Orm at the same time. I just am getting pretty excited for how this movie's going to go. Seeing, like, the galleon with the gold coins on it just brought back memories of Pirates of the Caribbean. Super cool. If we get any of that, like, vibe of the pirates on the ocean, I'll be super happy too. I just couldn't be more excited from what I'm seeing here, considering how much I cared about Aquaman before this started, which was not as much as a lot of other people.
Yeah. So, it's interesting, having just watched Throne of Atlantis for the first time today, and I hadn't read the comic beforehand, like, part of me is curious, like, I'm almost positive that elements of that story will be copied and pasted into that. I'm positive that other things will be new and fresh, you know, like, we can see that not all of it's there. Obviously, Volko is not in that, at least the movie. I don't know if he's in the comic.
I think he is in the comic. I have read the comic, and I've watched the movie, and I'm remembering Volko in one of those two. And they're actually so similar, the comic and the movie, that I have trouble distinguishing which is which in my mind. But I remember Volko somewhere, so probably in the comic.
Okay. And then we have that quest on the surface world with Arthur and Mara, which we don't quite get, at least in the movie. So we know there's obviously more to it, but... It'll be interesting to see, and it's, you know, the only Aquaman story I hear people talk about, really, at least in the past 5 years or so. So, I mean, it makes sense to pull from that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. You were talking about the poster. I love that poster, too. I mean, I just barely laid my eyes on it 2 seconds ago. But it's interesting to me because it's all... I first saw it for a second not on an official website, and I was like, is that real? Is it a fan poster? And it looks great. Like, you know, it doesn't look like fan-made, perchance. I mean, it could be. But what's interesting to me is that, like, it has a different tone than, like, I don't know, what I was expecting a little bit. But it's a good thing, I think. Like, it's kind of that adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love... Momoa almost has a little bit of a smile there, you know, like, he's ready to have fun. I like the Home is Calling, you know, like, it's gonna be a wild ride.
Yeah, I think one thing about it that I really love, it kind of conjures up images of kind of like a general with the military behind him. So you look at those orcas, they're in formation, and there's like little different schools. It reminds me of like squadrons of fighters just flying over the head of somebody. I know I've seen this image in a movie before. It's just not sharks, and it's not Aquaman. It's like a military general with like all his forces behind him. So that's kind of what it reminds me of, and it just looks so cool. He just looks awesome. Like he's just full of himself. I bet he's gonna be a jerk in this movie, kind of.
Yeah, I kind of have to learn some respect sort of thing and all that. What's interesting too is the more I look at this poster, like, is that what Atlantis is going to look like in the background? Like, kind of these, they're almost like jellyfish, but they look like buildings.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd be fine with that. I like the design. It looks cool.
Yeah, it looks awesome. Just totally different from what we've seen so far.
Yeah, absolutely.
As far as Atlantis interpretations.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, anyway, we got a trailer coming up. In a week.
Yeah, less than. Like, we got 5 days at this point.
That's some serious hype. So we'll try to get some reactions out to you just as soon as we can. Because I am anticipating it quite highly. Anything else we want to talk about with Aquaman here? I think we kind of covered it all really fast, actually.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's about all I have as far as other thoughts and things. I'm just really excited to see us in action. You know, we've gotten lots of stills at this point. I'm
excited to see some
in motion.
Oh, speaking of in motion, another movie that I'm excited for would be Shazam. And I had the exact same experience that I did with Teen Titans Go, dude. I was seeing Incredibles 2, and my wife's in the bathroom. I'm just kind of wandering around the theater, and I see a Shazam poster up, and it's nothing but, you know, the text Shazam with a lightning bolt, and it just got me excited. Like,
man, there's a poster? I haven't seen the poster.
It's not like an officially released poster. It's kind of just the logo with the word Shazam on it.
Okay.
But yeah, we got a trailer for this coming up too, right?
Yeah, should be that same day actually, during the same panel, I would imagine.
Oh, that's gonna be exciting. I gotta find out what am I gonna be doing that day.
I know, you're gonna be watching those trailers and recording a podcast.
Yeah, hopefully. I hope that's my day off. I gotta figure out that.
That's true. We'll get it to you.
I'll just quit my job, it's okay.
It's worth it, man.
Yeah. Totally.
So anyways, I mean, there's not quite as much with Shazam as there has been Aquaman thus far. I think we talked a little bit about, just in case, there was like that first unofficial image we got with the vendor expo. It was like a poster, and he was drinking the soda out of a straw. I think this one here is our first official image, and it's again from Entertainment Weekly. Of him and Jack Dylan Grazer's character. I forget which kid he's playing.
Yeah.
But they're outside of a convenience store drinking some sodas. So,
again, soda, that's kind of funny.
Be the main theme of this movie.
Yeah, I like almost everything about this first look we're getting. The only thing is, like, I'm not super familiar with Zachary Levi's physique, but that looks like obviously padded muscles to me. Which, I don't know. How big is he looking these days? Is that really what he looks like?
I mean, I was looking... It's probably like 70-30.
Okay.
I would say. Like, there's not a lot under there. Like, he's posted a little bit of, you know, his workout pics and stuff. And he's pretty big. Not quite on, like, a Cavill level, but I'd say pretty close.
Yeah, I guess Henry Cavill just kind of ruined it for me because... Like, how could we expect anybody else to get that huge?
It's going to get worse when we finally get Black Adam. Put anybody next to The Rock and they look like a pebble.
Yeah, that's that's true. Yeah, I guess he's looking pretty big. I'm seeing it. He's definitely padded out a little bit, but that's fine. I'll live with it. That's really my only gripe with it. Also, I want to see like a straight-on picture of him in the suit. It's a weird angle.
I mean... Yeah, we got these kind of off shots. I mean, that we do get kind of the full breadth of it. Like, we get him from head to toe, but not quite
everything
in the angle we would normally see. And then just today, there is a second picture released by Entertainment Weekly of that same character played by Jack Dylan Grazer. His name's Freddie Freeman. And he's kind of putting his hand on Shazam's lightning bolt.
Yeah, I see that.
Sharing a smile.
So. I didn't know that came out today.
Yeah, me neither.
I like that picture a lot. That's actually pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's cool. Looks like Shazam has a backpack, too.
I know, he's just like on the way home from school.
Yeah. So this should be fun. I'm excited for this movie. Like, I don't know. Like, obviously, it could be bad, but I like... feel like it's just gonna be great and a good time. Like, it's pretty low risk, high reward sort of film, you know. But I don't know, I'm excited, and I'm excited to see also our first kind of live action footage this weekend.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I think this couldn't be a more exciting Comic-Con, honestly. There's three movies to anticipate here. All fantastically different varieties and such.
Mm-hmm. So, anything else on Shazam before we move to that third movie?
I don't think so. I'm excited to get to the third movie, actually. This is the juiciest news for me.
Okay, great. Why don't you kick it off for us?
So, we get a tweet from Patty Jenkins. Just out of nowhere. Welcome to Wonder Woman 1984, Steve Trevor. And here we see, like, an aged-up looking Chris Pine. I don't know. Like, that kind of, to me, I think that says this is probably the same Steve Trevor somehow.
You know, I think it is. Like,
He survived the plane crash, and...
Historically on this show, we've avoided, like, set photos and stuff. It's just, like, a little... It's another layer. I just saw, like, a post about set photos.
Yeah.
I didn't look at all of them. But they had the two of them kind of, like, walking side by side, you know, having a conversation. It looks like, you know, it's... Steve Trevor. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I think... I can't say that that's, like, a son or anything... Or, like, a grandson. I think that's him. I mean, he can't have aged all the way because there's a 70-year gap between the movies. Or 65 or something.
And I don't think they'll pull, like, a Captain America, you know, where he was frozen for however long. Maybe that's somehow how they pull that. I'm still voting for, like, some sort of magical explanation.
Yeah, that's what, like, I was thinking,
whether
too.
Whether it's a magical resurrection or he's not... real, you know, like, he's real but not real. Yeah. Like, he's real to Diana can see him, and but it's kind of an illusion sort of thing.
Or maybe, like, there's a secret villain in this movie that we don't know about yet that brings back Steve,
because I mean the secret production title for Wonder Woman is actually called Magic Hour. So it makes me think there's got to be some magic in it somehow.
It's actually really funny checking out the background of this picture of Chris Pine. Like, everybody's just looking super 80s in the background.
Oh, yeah. That looks glorious. I mean, my favorite is the Taekwondo lady. She looks like she's in Taekwondo gear. And then she has, like, tan boots with heels. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm definitely liking the guy in the old school Adidas, like, short shorts.
And the mustache.
It's good stuff.
But yeah, that's my best explanation for Steve Trevor. I hope they don't just, like, cheap it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I want it. I don't think they will. I think Patty Jenkins is a lot more respectful than that. Like, because that death meant a lot to Gal. Or to Wonder Woman in the first film. So, I mean, to kind of take that experience away is going to be really hard.
And she's clearly still, like, reacting to it in Justice League. So, I don't know. Whatever it is, it can't change the status quo that much.
Yeah. I could see her, like, if this is fake, you know, if it's a fake Steve Trevor sort of scenario, I could see her getting, like, really mad at whoever she finds out did this sort of illusion or imposter stuff, you know?
All right.
Anyways.
So, the other pictures... Sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I let you have this one, and I was trying to take it away.
All right. So, we also get tweets from Gal Gadot herself, featuring images of, looks like Wonder Woman staring at several screens at the same time. It's possibly a reflection of her face, but there might be two people in it. I don't know. How did you interpret that when you saw it?
I mostly went for the reflection aspects, because they're like old school TVs.
Oh, like a store window. I imagine, yeah, that's what I would think.
Yeah, they're like behind glass sort of thing.
Yeah, it just features various 80s imagery, honestly. Like, that's the best way to describe it.
Yeah, people on Twitter were freaking out about some of them. Like, the one in the car, I can't remember what she's from, but... Yeah.
Anyway, another tweet from Gal is just a picture of Wonder Woman. Kind of cool lighting. I don't really know. What do you think that is behind her? Like, a Christmas tree?
That's a good question. Like, my first impression was... like, it looks like she's in, like, a bank or something with gold. Like, the shapes don't make sense, but the lighting makes sense for that, you know?
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, she's looking glorious as ever.
That's one of my favorite shots, I think, of Wonder Woman that I've seen so far. It's just, like, really, really nice.
Yeah, nice and sparkly. Anyway, this might be my favorite of all these that we've had. We get another tweet from Patty Jenkins with the text, "Enter Barbara Minerva, hashtag WW84. We see Kristen Wiig standing in an exhibit of African animals. including a giraffe, a lion, some kind of gazelle, maybe, I don't know, how familiar are you with African animals? Is that like a kudu or something?
I don't know their technical names, because I was about to say that there's a ram back there, but they probably don't call them rams.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Anyway, no doubt she's looking at a cheetah, but there is not a cheetah in the shot.
Or is there?
Oh no, did I miss it? Is it in there?
Well, I'm just talking about her.
Yeah, I caught on too late. I'm sorry. That was embarrassing.
That's okay. That's all right.
Anyway, yeah, I'm excited. It'll be so cool to see Cheetah on screen. Who could have thought?
Oh, yeah.
Like, 10 years ago, who would have thought that we were going to be seeing the Cheetah on the big screen?
I certainly never would have guessed it. So, if I have to turn in my nerd or comic book fan card here, I'm sorry. Do you know the origin of Cheetah?
I know that it's been varied in between.
There's probably a number of them.
Yeah. There's no, like, hard origin story for Cheetah, but I'm not super familiar with the character. I'll be honest about that as well. I have read a couple different stories, yeah. And I think I've seen it animated somewhere as well, but I can't remember.
Okay. Interesting. I'm just curious, you know, like, what's her backstory here, you know, like,
yeah.
My guess is she would have, like, an affinity for animals and stuff. And the way they have her dressed and everything,
mm-hmm.
It almost seems like what could be, like, I don't know, it's probably a bad comparison, but, like, Poison Ivy, how she's been interpreted a couple times, where she's, like, very passionate, kind of activist. She's a good person, but then she kind of stumbles into this power and that lets her, you know, get what she wants sort of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. She just kind of reminds me of that sort of character, like the Pamela Isley or even Michelle Pfeiffer's character in Batman Returns, you know, where it's just kind of like kind of awkward, but then you realize you have these powers and kind of leads to a road of death and destruction.
Okay. So I've got some Cheetah exposition really quick. The reason I remembered a couple different origins is because there are actually three different cheetahs. There's a...
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, kind of like a Golden Age, Silver Age, New 52 kind of thing. So, one, Barbara Minerva, was a British archaeologist in the comics. She was just kind of crazy, I don't know, just very, like, ambitious and going on crazy quests and stuff. Anyway, she searches out a tribe in Africa that has a female cheetah guardian, so there's already, like, a cheetah. Anyway, their cheetah dies, she kind of works with a priest there and takes on the powers of the cheetah, kind of Black Panther style, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense. Interesting. We'll see if they go that way. I could see it. I don't know. What's kind of interesting is I know Diana's character isn't necessarily an archaeologist in this film, but I could see them having almost like a Bruce and Clark BVS moment where they first meet just as regular people, you know, like in this
yeah.
kind of museum event or something like that. And I don't know, before all, you know, crap hits the fan and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
That'd be cool. Anyways.
Yeah, so that's Wonder Woman 2. I mean, Wonder Woman 1984. Honestly, I'm not sure that I like that title. No, I've said it a couple times, but whatever. When's the last time I've liked a title? Probably yeah. Man of Steel.
That's true. I don't know. Justice League was fine.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the name of the property, you know?
I know.
Otherwise, I would have liked Wonder Woman, you know? Suicide
yeah,
Squad.
Yeah.
Those would have been great.
Yeah. But anyways, they have teased that there's going to be a surprise for us at Comic-Con. And just kind of a little fun note is the first Wonder Woman film actually got nominated by MTV Movie and TV Awards as the got nominated for Best Movie, Best Hero, and Best Fight, and won Best Fight. So I don't know. I thought that was pretty cool. DC representing. Gal Gadot still slaying it out there.
Which fight was nominated? Do you know?
The clips that they showed from like her acceptance video and mm-hmm. stuff. It was the taking of Veld.
Okay. Well,
you know, that kind of one that was highlighted in the trailers a lot, where she's taking out all the German soldiers in the room and stuff.
Yeah, I think that's the one that I would have nominated.
Yeah, me too.
Dang, didn't win Best Hero, though. That's sad. Who won Best Hero?
I know. Want to say maybe Black Panther?
Oh, I can't argue with that, you know?
I don't know.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman bringing home some more hardware. That's exciting.
Yeah. Cool. So, next we just have a tiny bit of news. It's not even news. About the Batman. And it's probably just going to be redundant at this point. But Hollywood Reporter just kind of gave a big article, like, updating on a lot of these DC properties that we kind of have heard about for a long time. And so they said regarding the Batman that the first act of the script was turned in at the end of May, or at least kind of a first draft sort of thing. And so they're saying that it features a younger version of Batman and will likely not star Ben Affleck, but when they asked WB to confirm, obviously, they didn't say anything. So I don't know if we have anything to say about that. Just thought we'd pass it along to all of our listeners. You have anything to say about that, Andy?
Not really. I mean, with my own expectations, I'm kind of just saying a private goodbye to Ben Affleck, and that way, if he stays, I'll just be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I'm kind of just open to anything. I just want a new Batman movie at this point, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I love what we have of him, and I would love to see more of him, but I'm sure whoever they get in the future, they're not going to... They've learned from the past, they're not going to get a George Clooney or whatever, you know? Like, they're going to do it right. It's too big of a title at this point.
So I will say, sorry, this is a little bit off topic, but talking about Batman stuff that we already have, it hasn't really been official news lately, but just Zack Snyder on social media has kind of reignited my belief in the Snyder Cut, and I kind of believe that we're going to get it at some point now, because I think he finally watched Justice League. I don't know when that happened. But everything he's putting out now is, like, hinting that, oh my gosh, that was so different from what I shot. And he's releasing all kinds of concept art and just other things from his version of the movie. And it's just exciting to me because I think, I don't know, I saw a rumor that the Snyder Cut exists already. I can't remember what that was. I didn't bother clicking on it because I didn't want to get my hopes up. But mm-hmm. I don't know, I'm just kind of feeling that way now.
Yeah, I didn't include them in our show notes, but there were a number of articles about, like, some visual effects reels, you know, that they use for demos and stuff that were about Justice League, mm-hmm. and a number of them had some pretty glaring discrepancies between the Snyder vision and kind of what we got. Just, like, even the end fight, like, there was concept for, you know, like, but visual effects for... kind of Earth turning into Apocalypse, at least where the final battle was, and that's where they fought Darkseid, was kind of just like, it was a lot more of a devastated terrain than what we saw in the movie.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it was like, it had to have led into the, like, nightmare scene. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's what would have made sense.
But a lot of these videos have already been removed since the articles were posted. And then another article said that there is a Wall Street Journal article getting... like, published soon to address the Snyder Cut. And that's a pretty big paper chain, you know, so I mm-hmm. wonder if Zack's in cahoots with that. Maybe that's what he's getting ready for. We'll hear some plans or just put it to rest for a while. I don't know.
Well, anyway, that's enough Snyder Cut talk. I saw some buzz, so I wanted to address it really quick. Here's something else that I remember being kind of passionate about in the past. We have our own little garden of Joker movies. They're just all growing into various stages of life. And I remember last time we talked about this, I was like 100% against all these random Joker movies that were not connected to the rest of the DC universe at all. However, if they have Batman in them, I could get on board with that. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. I don't know that we've seen any evidence for that, but I did see a report that... Okay, so let's just go ahead and talk about it first. So the standalone Joker movie that we'd heard about before now has a director and an actor attached to it, Todd Phillips, and how do you pronounce the name? Joaquin Phoenix or Joaquin?
Joaquin. Yeah, it's Joaquin.
I've heard it both ways. I don't want to offend anybody. Okay, so Joaquin Phoenix... And I've heard that it's rumored to be based on The Man Who Laughs. Have you read that before, Taylor?
If I have, it's been 10 plus years, so...
Okay.
I need to reread.
The Man Who Laughs is... How to explain it? I have it. Maybe I should just let you borrow it, but I don't know if I'm going to ever see you. So, anyway, I'll just say that that really excites me because I like The Man Who Laughs a lot. It's basically a telling of the first meeting between Batman and the Joker, and it's kind of a rehash of the Joker's first appearance in comics, but it's fleshed out and it's made a lot more sinister and modern.
Cool. Yeah, so I'd be excited for that. And I kind of am with you. I was like, do we need this? Do I want this? Not really. You know, like, I'm happy with what we had going. Why do we need to do these alternate takes simultaneously? And probably in an ideal world, I would still wait a little while to kind of get something like this. But the more DC properties out there, the better, I think. So, I mean, just a little bit of what the Hollywood Reporter's put out about this in the past couple weeks. So it's going to be fairly low budget compared to superhero movies. Looking at about $55 million budget-wise.
Yeah, that is pretty low.
It's going to be standalone. And there's talks, whispers of this new kind of label of DC films being like DC Dark or DC Black. And the Joker is the best one to kind of kick that off, in my opinion, mm-hmm. if we're going to do stuff like that. That they said that they're going to be more experimental in tone and content, and it's the exploration of a man disregarded by society that's not only a gritty character study, but also a broader cautionary tale. They're hoping to start shooting in September, which is amazingly soon. Granted, I mean, just given some of the other films we've been hearing about for longer that aren't going to start until next year. And then Thomas Wayne could, according to Collider, have a big role to play in the film, which, I don't know, for me at least, could indicate that we're obviously not going to have a Batman.
Yeah.
At least that
Joker think so. Film. I don't know. I don't know too much how to feel about that yet. I think I need more time to digest it. Especially, like, the whole the DC Dark label. That could be interesting. Because the thing is, I think when people want to go see DC movies, they're interested in the heroes, especially the mainstream public. Like, what would they do with DC Dark? Are we talking, like, could we make a... Oh, have you ever read the thing? I forgot what this is called now. I think it might just be called Joker. But it's a graphic novel that kind of reminds me of this style, actually. It's just about the Joker. I don't think Batman's in it at all, but it's just about his interactions with the rest of Gotham's villains. It's like Killer Croc's in it, Penguin's in it.
I think I flipped through it. I don't remember it super well.
Yeah, it's Azzarello. It's coming back to me now. The problem is, since I moved, I haven't unpacked all my books yet, and so I don't see them every day on my shelf like I used to. Yeah, it is just called Joker. And it's just kind of like, it feels more like maybe The Dark Knight, the movie, in the tone. But it focuses a lot on his interactions with the other villains in Gotham. And that's kind of the one thing I could envision for DC Dark. But, like, I don't know that I'm interested in just seeing only villains in a movie, if that makes sense.
Yeah. You know what could be a good test run for this mm-hmm. market, though, is Venom. You know, the other side of the ballpark with Marvel, but, like, it's kind of the same thing. I haven't watched the most recent trailer. I don't know if he's fighting anybody, you know, like, that's a hero, but it's definitely kind of the same market, you know, where it's like, hey, we're going to take this. There's kind of these, there are these people, these fans who kind of just love some of these villains. You know, there's Venom t-shirts and Venom hoodies and hats, you know, and stuff. And the same with the Joker, right? Like, people may not even have read a Batman comic or seen all the Batman movies, but they love the Joker just for the character and the style and kind of that rebellious thing that he embodies. So I don't know. I know they're probably very different movies and they're very different fans, but as far as the market goes, I'd be curious to see how well Venom does in October.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If the Joker could do it.
The thing is, like, I like Venom, but as a Spider-Man villain, I haven't been excited by the trailers I've seen, honestly. And plus, I love Tom Hardy. I have a huge man crush on Tom Hardy, and I have for a long time, like 8 or 9 years. And it still wasn't getting me excited for the movie. So I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah. And Joaquin Phoenix has a pretty big following, too. I don't think he's as present in the cultural norm as Tom Hardy is right now, because he's kind of big, but he kind of, you know, when he does something big, usually. So, well, I'll be interested to see it. The other Joker movie, Jared Leto said himself that he's going to star and produce his own movie. This would supposedly be, you know, in the iteration of Leto we've seen thus far. But there's really very little details as to that one. So it seems like the Joaquin Phoenix one is the one we may get first, because of just how much we've heard about it and the plans and everything.
Okay. Well, I think out of these two, the Jared Leto one is the one I'd be more interested in, because I already know him and I've seen him as the Joker and I liked it. But yeah, I agree with you. It sounds, there's so little detail on that I think it's going to be a long time before we see that one.
Yeah. You know, like, the part that kind of excites me about this that I think could just be different, and could work for me at least, was that part about, like, just the exploration of a man disregarded by society and kind of a cautionary tale. Just because, like, what if, like, because we always say, like, Joker's so unexplainable, he's so wild, like, what could have created that? Like, what if we created the Joker? You know, like, what, and I mean, like, the Killing Joke doesn't quite go that far. And, you know, he's kind of just, like, had a really bad day with a lot of things out of his control. But, like, what if, you know, it's just a man that we kicked to the curb for too long and he just kind of broke, you know, and can't take anything too serious now.
Yeah, I agree. Could be interesting. There's a lot of cool territory that could be covered there. And I hope they do it, if that's the way they decide to go. If they try to go, like, really psychological with it and make a movie that we can really chew on and digest and think about for a long time, I would enjoy it. I think I really would.
Throw as many at me as you want, as long as they're good.
Okay, let's see. I think the last thing we probably want to talk about would be DC Universe, the streaming service. So we've heard that it's going to enter beta in August, which is next month. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I've been excited for this for a while. Do we know how to get involved with the beta? No, I haven't. Like, that's what I was about to ask.
If you just go to their website, you just give them your email address. I signed up when it first came out.
Yeah, I'm in. I'll do that, like, literally right now.
Awesome. So, I think kind of the main takeaway, there's a lot. We could spend, like, kind of like Aquaman, we could talk about DC Universe for an hour. But kind of just to give a broad overview, it's going to be a lot more expansive than I was expecting. So, like Andy was saying, they're going to have the beta in August. They're going to officially launch in the fall. And Titans is their first original one that they're going to have at launch. And then the rest, other shows we've talked about previously, are going to be coming in 2019. So, you know, you'll have Young Justice and Swamp Thing and Harley Quinn and whatnot. We did get our first looks at Robin. Full looks, I should say. We've seen the emblem before. But what did you think of the look of Robin?
I like it. It pretty much copy and paste everything I said about it before.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's nice. Like, you can see young Dick Grayson in him. But he's not, like, full-blood, grown-up Nightwing yet. He's kind of in that in-transition Teen Titans phase. So I think it's, or I guess Titans, not Teen Titans. But I don't know. I'm digging it.
I agree. I just, what I said before, it reminds me of Arkham Robin. And I like that. It's one of my favorite versions, actually, as far as the look goes. And it looks kind of like that. He looks like a wholesome kid, though, doesn't he? He doesn't look too gritty. He just has blood all over him.
Besides the blood on his face, yeah. But yeah, like we were saying, so members of the DC Universe, they kind of have these little phrases. So there's like watch, read, connect, explore, win, and shop. Or it's kind of like how they're marketing all the aspects of the DC
Universe. Yeah, what does that mean? That's cool. Honestly, this is my absolute... Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to explain each one briefly. So watch, they have the exclusive originals that we're talking about, but they also have a lot of classic favorites. Like we've seen, I don't know if you saw that little 90-second little trailer they did for DC Universe, Andy, but Like, they're showing Batman the Animated Series, Justice League, the old school Wonder Woman with Linda Carter, all sorts of stuff. So they will also have, like, a curated list of comic books that are available to read on the app. So it sounds like they'll kind of have a rotation going, you know, like they'll have, I don't know how many, but they'll have a few up at a time that they've picked for people to read in the universe. And then it's kind of a public forum, too, a way to connect with other DC fans. They'll have some breaking news and exclusives, their own DC encyclopedia, an official one. And then they'll have prizes and sweepstakes and contests exclusive to members, and also exclusive merchandise that you can only get on the DC universe. So, anyways, sorry, I cut you off, Andy. What were you going to say?
No, I just was saying this is actually a lot better than I imagined it was going to be back when we first heard about it. I think they really took this idea to the logical conclusion, and I think it's really cool. The only thing I would probably change is if this was like, you know about Marvel Unlimited, right? You pay $9 a month, you can read all the comics. If they added that onto this, like, it would be a total no-brainer for anybody that's a DC fan to get this. As it is, I still, like, kind of wish we had something like that for DC, but the fact that they're including comics at all is so cool. The merchandise I didn't even think of, which is amazing. And, yeah, there's just a lot of stuff that was unexpected for me here. I was expecting it to all be, like, new content, but the fact that we have access to a lot of the older stuff, stuff that I haven't seen a lot. Like, they mentioned the classic Wonder Woman TV show. I have only seen clips of that. I've never seen full episodes, so that would be cool to check out. Yeah, the animated movies. I don't know. I'm just excited.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think they've sold it in just the right way, you know, where for me, it's like, why would I have it? Before, it was like, you know, I already have Netflix, I have Hulu. Like, do I want to pay for something that's just a couple of DC shows? But they made it just expansive enough that I think it's totally worth it. I mean, we still don't know a price yet, so that'll be seen.
I mean, if this is somewhere in the range of a Netflix, this will be a no-brainer for me. I will get it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
but for sure. If we're talking more like $30-$40 a month, like, I don't know. We'll have to see. We can share.
I have a hard time believing they would charge that much a month. But we will see. Hopefully, you know, your hosts here at Beyond the Batcave can get some beta access and let you know how it's looking. There's one other thing I was going to say about it, but I don't remember what it is. So, yeah, I'm excited. Super stoked for DC Universe.
Yeah, I agree. That's exciting. All right, well, I think that'll about do it for today's episode. So if you want to get in contact with us to discuss anything you've heard on today's show, you got anything to say about Aquaman, Wonder Woman 1984, Shazam, even the Batman, or the Joker movies, why don't you just get in touch with us, give us your questions, give us your feedback. We're on Twitter at Beyond Batcave, we're on Facebook at Beyond the Batcave, the Batman-centric DC Movies podcast, and we're also on our own website, beyondthebatcave.com.
All right, yeah. So thanks again for listening, everybody. And for Andy Piper, this is Taylor Jackson, and this is Beyond the Batcave. We are signing off.